Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode 27 of season 2. One of the subtexts of this program is a passion for rural life. You may have noticed. You see, the link between food and rural is a part of my DNA. Sure, cities grow food too, and I often celebrate that. But rural regions will still feed us all for the foreseeable future. And so when I visit rural areas that have high food insecurity, I get worried. You see, lots of folks who pronounce about food, researchers, bureaucrats, functionaries, academics, I have to include myself here, business leaders, free-ranging, banquet speakers, media, celebrities, and so on, they live in urban areas. Their everyday relationship to food is very different from the situation in rural regions, especially in remote rural regions. So today, we're in St. Anthony Bight, close to the tip of the Great Northern Peninsula. We'll chat with a guest about growing up here, leaving here, moving back here after many years away, and how food and health and community intersect in this rural location.
Food is everything. How you fuel your body determines how you function in the world, and it determines how your body is able to process or not. I moved here actually so that I can go and pick berries and go and fish and can have that relationship with the land and with my food. So it's a beautiful way to live a life. But then when the road came through, of course, all that overturned soil. Yeah. It must have been very exciting. Like growing up on rocks. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, look at that soil. You want the body to heal itself, and you want the person to take responsibility for the body and give it the tools to heal itself. And so the tools are definitely food and the movement.
First, you need to get oriented to where we are. We've had a great trip up the Viking Trail. The Long Range Mountains started out on the right, the Strait on the left. We traveled up through towns with metaphor-rich names like River of Ponds, Flowers Cove, Bidman's Cove. Just before St. Anthony, the town, we turned off to St. Anthony Bight. We're there now. Here's our guide. She'll set the context for us.
My name is Renee Fogram, and this is St. Anthony Bight, Newfoundland. And right here, that's my parents' house. We built when I was about 5. I helped. And then up the road, that's my dad's family, his mom and dad. And across the garden, that's my mom's mom and dad. They both had salt box houses. They're gone now. But the houses that's there, those are the ones that they built. And then up the road there, that's my Aunt Flo, dad's sister, and Uncle Jim. And then across the road there, that's Uncle Keith. That's mom's brother. And the place that you guys are staying in there, that's Gord's house. So he was a cousin. And his dad was Uncle Charles. And you didn't really want to cross Uncle Charles. You know, you could not walk in that meadow when my parents
were younger. We've been going through there.
Yeah, but not when my parents were younger. You could not go through that meadow because he would be out there bawling at you with his cane like this, shaking it at you. He was rough. Just to give you the lay of the land, right now we're in the middle of the Bight. This is the Bight, and then there's Outcross Cove.
Outcross Cove.
Yeah. Okay. And then there's In on the Road.
In on the Road.
Yeah. So Outcross Cove, one of my aunts used to live out there, and an uncle, and I know people, obviously everybody out there. And then In on the Road, I have some aunt and uncles that live now. And I could count every head in the Bight, for sure.
Yeah. How many heads would there be?
About, I'm going to say between 60 and 70, and I'd have to go through it. But, I mean, there's Pilgrims and Patey's and Sims and Calls, and there was a Lambert family. There's a couple of different Patey's and different Calls and different Pilgrims. They're all different families, but those are basically the surnames that live here now.
When you were growing up here, how many people lived here? Was it like double the population now?
I think 120 is a number that I remember. There was a crew of us youngsters, right? Like, now there's about 5 or 6 youngsters, and only a couple of them that really hit the streets with their bikes. You know, they're on the road all the time. And that's what we were like when we were kids, but there was a big crew of us.
So what would you do?
Well, we'd go down Cove, play sardines.
How do you play sardines?
Well, it's like hide and go seek, but one person hides and then everybody hides with them and you have to crunch together like sardines. So like down there underneath that blue boat, we would be down there playing sardines.
Like somebody is then counting and then they try to find the whole bunch of you all clutched together.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
You have to find everybody. The last person standing, they're all alone and they're like, where did everybody go? And they're all somewhere under a boat probably. Or play kick the can and by the church. That was deadly.
Kick the can. In by the church?
Yeah.
That's the whole long name of the game.
Like, well, it's kick the can.
Okay.
But you played in by the church.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Pardon me.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You're not from around
I'm learning.
Here.
That's right. Yeah.
And then we'd walk over the hill to go to the playground, which was up Cornedroke. So up Cornedroke. So up in the Droke.
Droke,
yeah.
D-R-O-K-E, like
yeah.
that?
Okay, Droke. Yeah. Cornedroke.
Cornedroke.
And now that name, well, you know how things are in Newfoundland. who knows where that name came from and how you actually spell it and what it actually means. But Troke for sure. But we used to walk up over the hill by my grandmother's house, up over her partridge berries, and just head up there. There's a playground up there. We had swings and sandbox and seesaw and slide, and we had it all up there. And we had our privacy too. Walk up Flat Rocks, so that trail we started to walk up today, we used to go up through there and we'd hang out for the day. And then part of the game on the way up was how close to the water can you go on the trail without falling overboard.
So
and some people really did get really close to, and scaled some rocks too. Like, we were rock climbing before it was cool.
When you were growing up, what kind of things did people eat?
A lot of fish and duck.
Yeah. Fish being cod, of course.
Fish is always cod, unless it's mackerel. Then it's mackerel. Yeah, or herring. Well, I didn't really eat a lot of mackerel, I think, growing up. Maybe a little bit. But cod, for sure, around. And when the squids came in, and mussels, and cuckoos.
Cuckoos.
Which is like escargot, snails.
Oh. Okay, yes.
So, you know, you take an old tire, and you put a float or whatever on it, and you drop the tire at the bottom, and you get some cuckoos. Vegetables, of course. Look, we have a potato garden, so we ate lots of potatoes. The regular suspects, turnip, carrot, beets. And then moose, when we started to hunt moose and stuff like that.
So the gardens, I mean, historically, like, there's not a lot of soil various places. Were they every little place around the community where there was soil that somebody would have a garden, put up a garden?
Or? Yeah, like, we could walk up over that hill there now, and I could show you where my great-grandfather on my mother's side used to have a garden, and her uncle, Alan. So people would have, like, on the bogs, they would put gardens. And right by their house, people would always have something by their house. But then when the road came through, of course, all that overturned soil. Mm. So people just went down on the road and picked a spot. And
so the roadside gardens started then,
As soon as the road came in, because as soon as you saw the dirt, right?
Yeah.
It must have been very exciting. Like, like growing up on rocks. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, look at that soil. Yeah. Like, you had your spot and you knew whose spot it was. You wouldn't go and plant in somebody's spot, right?
No,
you just wouldn't do that. And you wouldn't go and take anything out of their garden either. People left stuff in the... Yeah. No, people don't do that now. And all of that wood you see on the side of the road, people don't touch each other's wood. Like, you know, that's their own stuff. But I think now a lot of these gardens have been given up, right? So I think what happens is, if no one's planting it for a couple years, and then someone then would be like, well, I guess you're not planting it, so I'll move in. Yeah, I guess that's how people get their gardens. I've been grandfathered a garden, apparently.
Oh, and you're going to use it next year?
Yeah, well, we'll see. This year it proves to not be like very, like, effective as a grower of food. I'm a very good consumer of food. So we'll see. Yeah. And it's a different soil quality. Like, down where my family has a big potato garden, we pulled 90-something 50-pound bags out of there this year. Yeah, and that's about average. But, you know, that soil is very rocky, sandy, you know. So you got to pay attention to that kind of dirt, right? You have to show up regularly.
It's high-maintenance soil.
Yeah, it's a high-maintenance soil,
Did those gardens maintain over the years, or was there a time where they went into decline?
Yeah, well, I think up around here, a lot of families always kind of kept to their gardens. Yeah. But there were a few that went off, that went to the wayside. But it does seem to be picking up. Like, in this last year, there just seems to be more of abundance of people out there doing it. Yeah.
Today, would you say that people eat differently than they did when you were growing up?
Yeah. Well, I'm a 70s baby. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with things in my cupboard that my parents never had in their cupboards. Like Rice Krispies and Corn Flakes. You know, those were the mild examples.
Yes.
You know, Fruit Loops. We ate Lucky Charms.
Oh, Lucky Charms with the little marshmallows.
Yeah, right? We definitely grew up with things that they didn't grow up with. People definitely eat a lot differently now. I mean, my family, we always ate from the gardens. Like, that was just a part of our family and what we did. And we made efforts to do it. You know, there's pictures over time of all of us proudly standing by our big 50-pound bags of potatoes, you know? Right. Job well done. And we got pictures all over many, many years of that happening. So that was always a part of our tradition of doing that. But there's a lot of families that don't. And there's a lot of people that wouldn't even know how to plant a potato around here. Certainly, there's a lot more fast food. There's a lot more canned stuff, packaged stuff, frozen stuff, definitely. Yeah. But I really do think that, you know, 60s and 70s and 80s, all of that really shifted. So now, a lot of the generations, I mean, they wouldn't know how to peel or even cook a potato.
Is there a piece of music that I could use in behind here somewhere? A piece of music that you think is important to you at the moment, or that is reflective of this area? Or
I always love Colleen Power's song, A Newfoundland Weather, because it always just, like, you know, things change here. Like, things are the same, but the weather here changes. And sometimes I feel like coming back here, I'm always like, oh, should I stay here? I don't know. Can I actually make it work here? Should I go again? Like, every day I wake up with a different feeling of whether I can actually be here now. now, right, in the place that I am in my life, and if I can make it work here. Because, you know, I also miss a lot of my friends in Toronto, a lot of the lifestyle that I had there, a lot of the engagements of, you know, social and cultural things that I used to do there. I miss the diversity of food. You know, so the song is like Colleen Power, and it goes, "You and me are like Newfoundland weather. We're hard to predict. Could it get any better?" So it goes on. But it's a beautiful song.
Another very
It's cold enough out to cut you in two. It's in your bones and it goes right through you. It's thick as fog and you can't see across the world. Now the sun is splitting the rocks above you and me in the middle of peace talks. Maybe we'll wait and decide our fate when summer's over. Oh, you and me are like Newfoundland weather. We're hard to predict. Can it get any better? We got thunder and lightning and a love turning sour. Conditions are subject to change in the
Colleen Power with her song Newfoundland Weather, as suggested by our guest today. We're talking with Renee Pilgrim, who's a seventh generation pilgrim from the community of St. Anthony Bight. We started out this section by talking about how to access locally grown vegetables in the area.
If I were living here and I wanted to buy some locally grown vegetables, are there places I could go?
Right now, just because it's harvest time, right?
Yes.
You're here in October.
Yep.
So anywhere around Thanksgiving, you're in luck because you can. But you'd have to know a buddy.
You'd have to know a buddy.
You'd have to know buddy, right? And his farm to really get it. I mean, there's a store over there now, Burns' Family Store. They're a local family and they like supporting local. So they'll get vegetables from a local farmer and they'll sell it in their store. And then there's sometimes like Olivia right here, Olivia Patey. She grew a lot of stuff and she'll throw like a little thing over to Lions Club where she sell her tomatoes or her whatever she's grown, right? Her zucchinis and stuff like that. You know, there's kind of people around. But if you wanted local vegetables, you'd have to know somebody. Like my dad, they sell their potatoes. My Aunt Ivy is married to Cal Nicholas. He's always had a big family garden. Now you can just drive down to their farm. You can't miss it on the road. It says fresh veg.
And two signs saying fresh veg, I think.
Yeah. And four arrows.
But if I went to the store, there's a couple stores here. It would be probably PEI or
maybe elsewhere. Yeah, maybe elsewhere in Newfoundland. There may be some stuff from Cormac. I mean, we have a new Coleman's now. I've never really seen a lot of things in Foodland that was from Newfoundland. I don't even know where they get their fish. You know, you can go down to Brad and you can get some fresh chicken eggs, or go down to Raleigh and get some duck eggs, but you gotta know. You gotta know where he lives, or not be afraid to call in or knock on his door or something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
So you were part of an organization here called SAGA. That's AAG, St. Anthony Area Gardening Association?
Alliance.
Alliance, sorry. That's different than association. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, that's brand new. Last year we had a meeting in February, and it was just kind of a meeting of community people wanting to learn a bit about what people thought about food here and growing food here. So we had like John Budgell, who runs a food bank, for example, and Scott Kosh, who's a rec director over Sandy, and built up some of those garden boxes over there. And a bunch of different people who we thought might be interested in food and things like that. We had that meeting because of there was this money left over from this grant, and it was like just kind of up in the air, and it was kind of sitting in the hands of the GMP Research Collective. And so they were going to maybe, you know, use it and put it somewhere. But then, of course, it was like, well, you know, well, we're right here. Why don't we just start, you know, bring it back into and do some more research on what the community wants and needs. So out of that meeting, we decided to form this alliance to try to look at just what did the community need and try to take some of that information we gathered. Because one of the original conversations was about greenhouse here in St. Anthony. Right? Mm-hmm. And then after this meeting, we're like, well, I don't know if people need a greenhouse. It seems like people are growing things, actually. So what it might have looked like is that people need like cold storage, or people need more compost, soil enrichment, mm-hmm. right? So that was some of the stuff that came out of that. But we also wanted to encourage people to grow and to grow diverse mm-hmm. plants, vegetables or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we formed Saga. And so in forming Saga, then the town of St. Anthony offered us this greenhouse that they had that they didn't really want to run. So we're like, well, we got a greenhouse. So we're like, what do we do? So, you know, we did little things. So we had a little seed exchange where people mm-hmm. came and gave seeds. And then we had a little planting thing and a transplant event. And then we had a compost event, which wasn't necessarily as much about compost that we needed. I think people wanted to know more about compost. And then we had our little harvest event. So we kind of like followed it through and had little kind of things marking it. And just as a way to kind of bring community in. And we're still trying to figure out who we are and get our legs as an organization. And, you know, we also talked about approaching Labrador Grenfell or Grenfell Historic Society and using the paddock, which is the original place mm-hmm. That Grenfell used to have this garden that he grew vegetables for the hospital, etc., etc. So we're kind of working and looking at that a little bit.
Part of growing is very experimental because you're never sure what's going to happen. And you need some confidence to just give it a try. So is that part of the job of a small organization that people talk to each other about, man, I tried this?
And that was a fun thing of what we did. What we wanted to do is provide a space for people to come together. I can't say I have any expertise in the field. But I mean, what was really beautiful about it is that, you know, we got to share that with people. And so there's this really great family and these little girls, they were into it. And one of them was like all into it. And she was like, she just knew what to do. And she was like planting things. And it was really fun to have that experience with her where I was like, I don't know, what do you think? She's like, yeah, let's do it this way. She's like 9 years old. And I'm like, yeah, it's boss for sure. And she felt it was really fun for her. So in the greenhouse, we also offered up spaces to community members who didn't get garden boxes or who just wanted to plant. And so they had things growing there. So on one side was all community people and our side was Saga. The community garden was amazing, but yeah. It was really fun. And that's what we wanted it to be. Like it talk about, they brought, like, that family brought things from their culture, which were like fenugreek seeds and things like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, because they were like, yeah, we just grow this. This is kind of what they, and I was like, great. So we were growing fenugreek in the greenhouse and, you know, tomatoes. And yeah. Some people like brought in bags and grew these beautiful zucchini, and someone like started corn in there. It was a really fun experiment. Yeah.
And there are some garden boxes that the town has provided? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the town has provided garden boxes in Friendship Park in St. Anthony, where the greenhouse is also. And recently I just heard that across the harbor on the east side, close to the Bronx, no joke.
The Bronx.
That's what they call it, yeah. The Lower East Side is called the Bronx over there.
After the one.
It's awesome. They're going to be apparently getting garden boxes next year. And on the outside of the greenhouse, I also want to build this little garden boxes because we had our beans and our peas inside, but it was just too hot in there. It got really hot in there, so we have to figure out another ventilation thing. It was great for the tomatoes, obviously, and some other things, but yeah, not for something.
So you're in healthcare. Is there a connection between food and health?
Well, I mean, I'm just going to be cheesy and say, let food be thy medicine. That's the beginning. In Chinese medicine, acupuncture, which is what I practice, mm-hmm. treating someone with acupuncture is actually quite invasive medicine. Okay. So the idea is like you would actually start by treating someone's diet and lifestyle. You would always start there with the treatment of any disease. So food is everything, obviously. Food is everything. how you fuel your body. It determines how you function in the world, and it determines how your body is able to process or not.
What a patient comes to you with, some sort of symptom that they think is the issue. And right. So you're saying that sometimes that might be there, but there's something behind that, which could be food or nutrition.
Yeah, there's root and branch medicine. So obviously, if you look at the trunk of your body, this is your root. Well, and that goes deeper than that, your genetics, right? That's your root. And then these are branches. So I can treat the shoulder pain or the arthritis or whatever, and that's treating like the branch, but I'm not working at the root. So arthritis is any kind of inflammation or type of inflammation that's in the body and in the joints. And so what we want to do is we want to figure out, well, it doesn't really matter necessarily how it got there, but how do we limit its function in your body? How do we limit how it impacts you? So we limit how it impacts you, any kind of inflammation, by changing your diet, by bringing movement into your life, by stretching, by walking, by like looking at your repetitive patterns and seeing how we can shift that. And so you always like look back into the root of, yes, what's causing it, that's important, but also how do we minimize now its impact moving forward, because you can never go back.
Do you have an opportunity when you're working with a patient to then get into things around nutrition and food as well when they're coming to you with a particular problem?
Yeah, it's in my practice to do that. Like, it's how I was trained to do that. Are people interested? Another question.
Could I ask you that one?
Well, I don't know. Like, some people are interested. They like to know. Does it make a difference? Sometimes I have some very compliant patients. And, you know, I have patients and they eat healthy. But see, when you break that down, like, what does eating healthy mean? They'll eat vegetables, but it might be a couple of pieces of broccoli. But they eat vegetables. And a lot of people culturally, I mean, not just here in Newfoundland, but culturally, we want a fix, but we don't want to do the work necessarily. Mm-hmm. And so that's here too. They want the result, but they don't want to necessarily have to work for it. So that's challenging. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that impact how a person's body is able to heal and able to change. And I do try to bring it into the conversation, and I have to follow the cue of the patient because that's who I'm working with. But it remains a point that I'll come back to as a place to reference, like, mm-hmm. the impact of your health is dependent on the choices that we make. Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
By request of my guest, that was Newfoundland Weather by Colleen Power. Today we're in St. Anthony Bight talking with Renee Pilgrim, a person who's her own sixth cousin, by the way. A sixth cousin once removed, however. Let's head back to that conversation.
Is it the case that in parts of rural Newfoundland, like where we are now, that the food system itself makes it difficult for people to make positive food choices, unless they're doing some self-provisioning of their own or they know a guy?
It's challenging here, isn't it? I mean, because ultimately I do believe it's our personal responsibility. And at the same time, there are systemic structures that make it very challenging for people. Fresh food is very difficult to access here. Not this time of year, yeah. Right? Now there's a glut of it. No one knows what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And like, how are we going to keep these carrots? That's the thing. How are we going to keep them? You can get enough, you can grow enough, but then how do you keep them, right? So a lot of people jar, like, mm-hmm. they can things, mm-hmm. they put things in jars. Mm-hmm. A lot of my family does that, but not everybody will do that. And it's not the same as having a fresh carrot, is it? So it's challenging here. I mean, now we have the second grocery store, so now there's two. We always had two, and then one went away, and now there's two again. And it seems like they'll have more fresh food delivery, but a lot of people look at it as being more expensive, and it's time consuming to prepare food. Although, you know, there's not a lot of commuting time. Like, people, I think, have time, but I think it's kind of getting away from it, right? Like, we've just gotten away from this idea of having to do that. And having to do that means, well, you have to do it. You don't just have the money to go out and buy whatever you want when you want it and go out and buy the prepared food or whatever. So I think there's a part of that too. And it's also like, there's no longer a gym here. There was a gym here for a while. So anyone that wants to do anything exercise-wise, you're pretty much outside. There's no space built for yoga. I try to teach yoga out of my house. We did a yoga beer over at Ragnarok a couple times. This summer on the deck of Rebel Cafe, I had some yoga classes, but there's really no place even to do that. In the spring, it's beautiful because you can cross country and snowshoe and, you know, do that kind of thing. A lot of people get out on their snowmobiles, and a lot of people walk. I mean, up there in the Bight Loop, like the old Bight Road, people walk walk yeah. all the time. Yeah. And they walk over St. Anthony. There's a lot of walkers, but walking is a great exercise. But if that's what you're doing every day, you're out pounding the pavement, is that that's what you're going to do? You know, there's also people that suffer from walking too much, yeah. which you don't really ever want to tell to people right. because that's really yeah. sometimes their only form of medicine is to be out walking. So you yeah. don't ever want to say that necessarily, yeah. although it's true.
What happens if you walk too much?
Well, you can get like just tight ligaments.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And like plantar fasciitis, some people okay. who are standing on their feet all day and then walk all day without yeah. the stretching. So again, and that's why I studied yin yoga yeah. to begin with, was to help my patients figure out some stretches that would help that they can do themselves, right? I mean, the whole idea is you want the body to heal itself and you want the person to take responsibility for the body and give it the tools to heal itself. And so the tools are definitely food and movement, stretching the body. And so that's definitely the foundation of the medicine. Here, I mean, we're a hard-working culture of people. I mean, we come from that. Mm-hmm. And so there's still like a lot of people who carry that. And whatever they're doing it hard. And there's also people who are like, well, you know, I don't have to work that hard now. Like, you know, we're in a different time and space now. I don't have to work like my grandmother's worked.
In some ways, you have the most marvelous gym of all.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
here,
yeah.
The view, the rocks.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And again, like, how do you see that with different eyes? Like, because yeah. you can come. You're not from here. And I've been away for 20-odd years. Like, actually, from this town, almost 30, from my community. You know, I can come back and I can be like, oh, my God, loves it. When I was stuck in quarantine, when I first came home last year, I was doing lunges up and down that hill. You know, because that was my rock. You couldn't
it is. It's a beautiful hill for it.
Yeah, yeah, right? But, you know, like, people, they, I don't know, they just don't do that, right? We don't think about it. We don't look at it that way. It's beautiful when people like to walk and do whatever. And there are some people, like, so this guy over there now, he's building, like, a walking dirt bike trail, a mountain bike trail, which nice. Is exciting. Yeah. A group that's doing that. So there are some people yeah. who are like trying to kind of do that, right? But it's not in the culture of people because that was a different kind of survival work, right? And so now they feel like they can remove that because, you know, because you can go and buy stuff. You don't have to go and chop wood, even though my dad and uncle still yeah. do. You know what I mean? But you don't have to. But it's still cost effective too. Yeah. So anyway, a lot of people, I think they don't necessarily realize how beautiful the space that they have here to work their bodies in a way to promote health and care.
So you were away for a number of years and then you came back. I mean, I'm sure there's a transitional process where you use some of what you learned and experienced elsewhere and try to figure out how that fits in with this context without jarring it out of some sort of authenticity. That's a hard question.
Well, I got back just over a year ago and I've been busy and I'm trying to bring things that I have here to serve the community. And to some degree, it's received. And there's a lot of things that I've learned when I was away, for sure. I had this question the other day from this guy. And he said, do you find like things look different, like are different or changed mm-hmm. like since you came back? I don't know if things have changed, but I've changed. So I look at things differently and look at, well, what can I bring and what kind of impact can I make to help promote health and wellness? Like, because that's not just my job. Like, that's my life. Like, I want that. Like, I moved here actually so that I can go and pick berries and go and fish and can have that relationship with the land and with my food. So mm-hmm. it's a beautiful mm-hmm. way to live a life.
What's your favorite local food?
I caught some mackerel this year and smoked it. That was deadly.
Yeah, smoked mackerel.
That was yep. my first yep. time. Well, these days, I mean, partridge berries, right? So they're yeah. on the go. So that's really yep. good. All of like the fresh garden stuff. Fresh cabbage is really delicious. I just made some cabbage rolls. This is my first year learning to make cabbage rolls. So I'm really into it now.
And I will like, tell the listener out. That they're amazing. They're amazing cabbage rolls.
Yay.
Look for it at your store. Renee's cabbage rolls.
Yes. They're so delicious. So yeah, whenever I pass somebody's garden, I'm checking out their cabbage leaves. I'm like, how's your leaves, buddy? What are you going to do with those leaves? I guess we eat seasonally. You know, the cove is right there. I'm looking out my window and there's the cove. And I go down there every day. And whatever people have on the go, like I went and got some herring some one day and buddy gave me some mackerel or, you know, whatever's on the go, people like share with you. If you're standing around long enough looking at it drooling, they'll be like, geez, buddy, you want some or what? We were doing that. Squids were in this year. Like, oh my God, by the wholesale. Like, they're amazing.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
It's nice.
Later in that same day, we were in a meeting at Renee's office with some Saga members and others. I was sitting across from four women who all spoke about leaving the St. Anthony region and then coming back years later. They're determined to make a go of it, to use all of the skills they have to make their hometown a better place, to increase the local supply of food, to turn a corner on self-sufficiency. This is the future. They inspire me.
down where my family has a big potato garden. We pulled 90-something 50-pound bags out of there this year. Yeah, and that's about average. Well, I mean, I'm just going to be cheesy and say, let food be thy medicine. That's the beginning. I grew up with things in my cupboard that my parents never had in their cupboards, like Rice Krispies and Corn Flakes, Fruit Loops. We ate Lucky Charms. A lot of people culturally, I mean, not just here in Newfoundland, we want a fix, but we don't want to do the work necessarily.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of the show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The music for today's show was the Newfoundland Labrador singer and songwriter Colleen Power with her song Newfoundland Weather. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by Pete Dennehy. By the way, he won the Instrumental of the Year Award at the Country Music Awards of Australia in 2016 with this very track. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Ebke. Join me again next time. I'll be right here. Happy trails.
Yeah, whenever I pass somebody's garden, I'm checking out their cabbage leaves. I'm like, how's your leaves, buddy? What are you going to do with those leaves?